Season 2, Part 7. I know you're keeping up with that, right? This is Season 2, Part 7. And there's plenty to praise Him for. Worthy is the Lamb. He took away all the sin of the world, of the whole world. You know, He didn't just pay for your sin. He paid for the sin of everybody in the world that ever lived. That's how big a price it was. Well, that really touches me. I hope it touches you. And He's the Lion of Judah. We have a lot to praise God for. He washed our sins away, and He's actively involved as the Lion of Judah, fighting your battles for you. That's our Lord. He's power, and He's fighting your battles for you. Be sure and let Him fight your battles. Okay, I know that we have an instruction in Scripture to stand and to resist and to renounce the enemy, and it means to continue to resist. But at the same time, there's a place of faith, and we did a whole series on this, on resting in the Lord. And allowing the Lord, having faith to allow the Lord to fight your battle. Getting in on the rest and the peace of what God's already accomplished in the finished works of the cross. There's a whole lot in that. But He is your victory. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to share next week about Moses. I'm going to try not to share it today. But how that Moses recognized, he got revelation that God was Jehovah Nissi. That He was our victory. And I'd love for you to be here. I know it's vacation weekend. We're going to have a number of pastors gone. There'll be some people gone. But there'll also be some people here. And I want to tell you, I'm very excited about next week. I'm going to be here live in living color. And so, you know, you be here live and living. Bring people with you that come in from out of town. It's a special meeting next week. Are you going to be here next week, Rich? Would you mind sharing a testimony next week about Mom? Okay, Kennedy will be here. Because I want Kennedy to be sure and hear that. Amen. Okay, you're going to hear a testimony next week from Rich, one of the members of our church. I'm sharing this for podcast sake, but you'll be excited to hear this. This is going to be on podcasts of how the Lord healed a mama that was full of cancer, that they just sent her home. They sent her home to die. And you know what happened? Long story short, you get to hear about it next week. Jesus healed that mama. And allowed her to raise her son. And that's her son right there. And I want to tell you, he's got heritage in healing. And you know what? He saw the Lord heal his daughter this past year. Kennedy, I'll never ever forget that. I know you won't either, because now that's a part of your heritage. And this is why it's important for you to be here to hear about what happened in your dad's life, your grandma's life. And what's happened in your life is heritage. You know what's going to happen in your children's life? You're going to be able to minister healing. Why? Because you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your healer. You got revelation of it. And when you get revelation, then you get wisdom on how to operate. We're going to see that in Moses next week. So you be here live in living color next week. And you on podcast, you tune in. We're going to have a great time next weekend. But I want to tell you, He is our Jehovah Nissi. We are not complete in ourselves. We are complete in Christ. Everything that you see in Scripture about our victory and being an overcomer, and by the way, He paid the price for us to be an overcomer, not an undercomer. All right? He desires for you to be an overcomer, and He paid the price for that. And everything that you see about what qualifies us to be an overcomer is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it refers to in Scripture, in language in Scripture, that we're in Christ, by Christ, in Christ. We're in Christ, and it's because of Christ. And that's why that here at New Beginnings, we want to be sure that we always point to Jesus. That we are confident in Christ. And our confidence is not in ourselves or our own ability. There's a lot of ability in this room. A lot of skills in this room. But I want to tell you, you got to take those abilities and skills and you got to yield them and surrender them to the Lord and allow the Lord to be your strength. And when you see the Lord be your strength, then He can take your abilities and skills and do much with them. You may not have very much skills. You know what? I identify with that. But it's very, very important that you don't focus on yourself, that you focus on Christ. If you focus on yourself, you're going to be depressed. If you focus on Christ, you're going to be uplifted. He's the best thing I've got going for me. Now, I'm not gifted or talented or have the charisma or the personality. And so, and I know that. Okay? Decades ago, I really wanted that. I'm at the place now it's okay. Because it's the best thing I got going for me, because I have to depend on God in every area. I can't rely on my skill. Okay, I don't have the Hollywood look. Okay? Most people that find out I'm a pastor say, "You don't look like a pastor." And I'll say, "Thank you very much." That's okay. Because I really don't want them to see me. I want them to see Jesus. And I have people say, "You know, you sound too country. You don't really talk like a well-informed pastor. You talk country." And I say, "That's okay. All right, it's okay for me to be clay or plain dirt and let Jesus be the Jesus." All right? But see, I have to depend on God. And, you know, it's very, very important. So it makes it easier for me to humble myself and lean on and depend on and trust in the Lord. Because I know I can't. And I know I ain't got it. But He is. And I want to tell you, I've seen my ministry. I'm not impressed. Okay, I want to see Jesus' ministry. Amen. They'll come to see Jesus. Don't brag on Tim. Don't go talk about Tim. All right, you go talk about Jesus and what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing. They'll come see Jesus. They'll come hear Jesus. And so we don't look to ourselves. Are you catching this? I'm not just trying to be cute. I'm trying to tell you some spiritual principle. We don't look to ourselves. We look to Him and we identify with Him. And when you focus on the Lord and you're seeking the Lord, He gives you revelation. And He gives you revelation of Him, then you can get wisdom on how you're to operate. Revelation is very, very important. It's called rhema. It's seeing the Lord. Your eyes to be open, ears to be open to see Jesus. All right? For example, if you're sick, then you need a revelation of Jesus being your healer. It's good that Pastor Don knows that Jesus is the healer. And I want to tell you, the body of Christ and the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus splashes off on. And there's times and opportunities where we pray over people that don't know anything about Jesus and they get healed. That's exciting. Okay, Jesus can do that. He does do that. But I want to tell you, there's also something too. A person that's battling sickness, for them to focus and look to Jesus and get their eyes off the symptoms of sickness and get their eyes on Jesus, to the place that they see Jesus. Wait a minute, here it is. They see Jesus as their healer. That it's personal. He didn't just heal people in the Bible. He hadn't just healed people around us. But they see from the Holy Spirit that this is for me with my name on it. And when you see the revelation of Jesus as your healer, or Jesus as your peace, or Jesus as your provision, or Jesus as the lover of your soul, then I want to tell you, it's a whole lot easier to receive peace over anxiety and fear. It's a whole lot easier to see and receive provision from the Lord versus bankruptcy or debt. It's a whole lot easier to see health and healing from sickness. It's just through the tunnel of the love of Jesus, through the tunnel of love. It's not by steps and operations and us working to make it happen. We're receivers, not achievers. Oh, that's big. But we don't have to look to ourselves. We are complete in Him. Look at Colossians 2:7. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him. This is the Amplified, so it's bringing out words in the original language. And we ought to study this, because you get some insight here and you can apply it. Being continually built up in Him. Do you see that? That means that we're to continue to grow. We're continue to hunger and thirst after the Lord. And we're continue to make part of our absolute goal in life is to continue to grow and develop and get to know the Lord better. Don't park. Become increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Do you see increasingly? That means, I want to tell you, this month you ought to be closer to the Lord. Know the Lord better in a personal way. When the Bible talks about knowing Him, it's talking about a relationship between husband and wife. It's talking about intimacy. That it's an experiential knowledge. And it's not just facts about Him. It's knowing Him personally. We ought to know Him better. Okay? If you spent a month with me, you would know me better. Might not, But I want to tell you, when you get to know the Lord better, He's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's beautiful. He's amazing. You get addicted to Him because He loves you so much you can't resist Him. You get addicted to the Lord. That love life with the Lord. And so this is what the Lord wants for us, to be continually built up in Him, increasingly more confirmed and established. I love to hear people say that they received Christ years ago. But if the last thing they ever saw Jesus do for them was for them to receive Christ and be born again, they've missed out on a heaven of a lot. Okay? To be more established in the faith. And you were taught this, abounding and overflowing with thanksgiving. This is why we teach on praise and thanksgiving. It's the outward flow of inner life. If you don't have the inner life, the outward flow of praise and thanksgiving is just not going to happen. It's just not there. But if you have the inner life, the inner love life of Christ, it's hard for you to be quiet about how great He is. It's easy to praise and give Him thanks when you're receiving that inner abundant flow of life in you. And that is the norm of Christianity. That shouldn't be the rarity. It should be the norm. That's what He loves and that's what He wants to do. So it's the outward flow of inward life. And so how's your praise and thanksgiving? We've tried to explain to you in this series, it's like your pulse, it's like your heart rate. Philippians 3, 8 and 10, look at this. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, surpassing worth, supreme advantage. I wish I could talk like this, but this is the Amplified bringing it out. Of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, the preciousness, the supreme advantage, the overwhelming preciousness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Do you know Him? How well do you know Him is an important thing. Progressively. Do you see that word? Somebody circle that and draw a stick figure of you there. Progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. Of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. This is coming from the Word of God. It's straight from the Word, the heart of Father. He's saying this, I want you to know me more. I want you to know me deeper. I want you to know me better. I want you to have greater and greater understanding of me. And this is not like the math type of knowledge, 1 + 1 = 2. No. It's personal knowledge. Experiential knowledge. He wants to draw you into His love life where that you know Him. Down in your knower, you know Him. I'll never forget one time I had another facility. I had some teens come up to the crow's nest. It wasn't on the side, it was in the back. And I had some teens come up and say, Mom and Dad, I love you. And the people forward couldn't see who it was, but I told the people, I said, when you know this is your child's voice, I want you to stand up. And so I brought them to the booth, and they said, Mom, Dad, I love you. And boy, the parents would stand up. And you know what? It was right every time. You know why? Because they knew them. Amen. Now, I could have given out information, bios, knowing about these teens or knowing about the parent, but no. It wasn't knowing about. It was knowing them. And I want to tell you, hey, those parents recognized the voice of their teen because of experiential knowledge and love life. Amen. I want to tell you, the shepherd says, my sheep know my voice. They know me. And they will not follow another. They know me. So here it is. I hope you see this in the name of Jesus. It's so important to progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything. Now, here's part of the problem. And I have people tell me this, and I promise you, I don't even think they know what they're saying. But I've had people tell me, I would see them on the weekend somewhere else at an event or something. They'll say, well, I'm here for so-and-so. And I say, well, you come to church? Will you come to church? Oh, no, I can't make it to church. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for so-and-so. And I thought, oh, that don't sound right. In other words, you would come to this event, to this place, for so-and-so, but you won't come to church for Jesus. Well, where is that on the priority list? Huh? What? No, I'm telling you, I got a lot of examples like that. You understand? Been doing this for 43 years. There's a lot of examples. I don't have to pick on anybody because this kind of stuff repeats. I'm telling you, where is Jesus on your priority list? Because He knows where He is. He knows your heart better than you do. And I know we can spout out and say, "Oh, I love the Lord. He's number one in my life." Well, I want to tell you, the Bible also says we don't even know our own heart, but He knows. He knows. Look at what He's saying. "I have lost everything, consider it all to be mere rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ, the Anointed One." And I want to tell you, we go through trials and tribulations on this earth, and the Bible's clear that we do go through that. You don't ever get so spiritual you don't go through it. But here's the deal. And Papa Billheimer wrote a book, said, "Don't waste your sorrows." And this is the emphasis of the book, and it goes like this. He says, "Through the trials and tribulations, keep your heart and your focus on Jesus and gain Christ through it." And I want to tell you, that's Bible. Count it all loss in order to gain Christ. You go through a trial and tribulation and you don't gain Christ, I want to tell you, that's wasting your sorrows. You go through, sorrows, heartache, heartbreak type stuff, but you keep your focus on the Lord and you're receiving the life of Christ, the joy, peace, and the love of Jesus. You work through this trial, tribulation. The Lord brings you out on the other side. You don't just come out with an escape. You come out gaining Christ. Heaven notices. Heaven celebrates. And you'll be celebrated for all eternity for gaining Christ. "That I may actually be found and known as in Him, not having any self-achieved righteousness," this is important, "that can be called my own, as not on our own, it's on Christ, based on my obedience to the law's demands, but possessing the genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ." It's by faith. It's by grace through faith. And all the saints said. Amen. Yeah, that's where our standing with God comes from. This next verse is very important. "For my determined purpose." Now look, this is what I see is missing in a lot of people. You know, I get to pray for a lot of people to be healed, because people that are sick want to be well. But I want to tell you, some of them are healed and some are not. Now, there's all kind of reasons why people don't get healed. But it's not on Jesus. Don't you dare point one to Jesus, because He's paid the price for us to be healed. It's His heart for us to be well. And we got a Bible study on Wednesday night that's going through that. It's a great study. You ought to be there, Live and Living Color. If you're sick or know anybody that's sick, and that's all of us, we ought to be there. Man, we need to know God's heartbeat on this. But listen to me. A lot of people that I go and pray for, they're not having a determined purpose to be more deeply acquainted with Him. I want to tell you, look, I'm not picking on anybody. I got four or five decades of this, 4.5 decades of this. I can go back 20 years and give you examples. But it goes something like this. "Brother Tim, I just want the Lord to heal me so I can get on about my life. I just want the Lord to touch me so I can go ahead and do what I've been doing." And I want to tell you something. There's more to walking with Jesus than this. Okay? Hey, He wants to do on the inside work before He does an outside work. A lot of people just want the Lord to do the outside work so they can continue their journey their way. The Lord's very, very interested in you doing it His way. And this has to do with your heart. Would you look at this? I'm telling you, determined purpose. You know what they'll do? They'll say, "Well, I'm really depending on my Blue Cross Blue Shield." I had a guy tell me that. Because I said, "Hey, you know, I want to pray for you to be healed." He said, "Well, I think I got that covered." I said, "Well, how do you have it covered?" He pulled out his wallet and took out his Blue Cross Blue Shield card. I said, "Let me tell you something, man. Medicine's not enough. They call it the practice of medicine for a reason. They don't know everything. Thank God for them. Thank God they're trying. And thank God that the Lord can use medicine. Thank God for doctors and nurses. Amen. Thank God, thank God. Because he does use them. But I want to tell you, if you're depending on medicine more than Jesus, you're wrong. Now, unless you're an unbeliever. If you're an unbeliever, there you go. That's all you got. Some people are depending on the government to make it happen. Look, politics is not going to do it for you. Hey, don't depend on politics, on the government, more than you depend on Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this too much? Is this too simple? Am I hurting somebody's feelings? Well, even over the podcast, if I hurt your feelings, call and ask for Pastor Don Shipley. He helps us with that kind of thing. My heart's not to hurt anybody's feelings. My heart's to share and minister truth. There's no way that a Christian should be... You take medicine? Okay, I do too. But you know, when you take medicine, you're trusting... Trust the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you to help me with this. I'm trusting in you to help me. And so look to the Lord and depend on the Lord. And, you know, don't look to your banker. You know, it's okay that a banker can help, but depend on the Lord. Let's see what this says. Become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understand the wonders of His person. See, this is what I'm looking for when I go minister to people. And so when people don't have this, I try to minister to them that let's have this, let's seek the Lord for intimacy and love life with Him because it's His will. And when you pray His will, you get it. And allow the Lord to minister His love life to you. And in that tunnel of love, it's a whole lot easier to receive everything else that He has for you. Otherwise, people try to earn it, they try to deserve it, or they try to beg God into it, make a deal with God. That's wrong way praying. And all the saints said, that I may, in the same way, knowing the wonders of His person more strongly, more clearly, that I may, in the same way, everybody say, same way. You see, this is relationship. This is the determined purpose. And look what happens as a result. In the same way, same avenue, same vein, same tunnel of love, come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection. Now, the resurrection power of Jesus is for believers. It's part of your inheritance. It's part of your birthright. But I want to tell you, the way to receive it is not by praying louder than everybody else or trying to work and be better than everybody. No, no, no. The way to receive it is through the intimacy with Christ. Getting to know Him better, the resurrection power begins to outflow, inflow, outflow. Resurrection power. That I may so share His sufferings to be continually transformed. Now, this is beautiful. Because what this is presenting to us, that we identify and walk in the power of resurrection, and that we're able to flow in the right now life, the present life, to the place that the transformation of the Lord continues to take place in us, where that we enjoy His victory inside and out, even through the junk of this life, because junk still comes. Overcomers still face and walk through junk. But they walk through the junk with the victory on the inside and outside. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say that's for me. That's for me. It sure is. Acts 6 verse 8. How much time? Oh, I got time to talk about Stephen. Let's talk about Stephen this morning. I just love Stephen. Acts 6 8. And I want to tell you about Stephen. He was a deacon. Hey, he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a professional minister. You know what he was doing? He was the one that waited tables. Yep. Helped serve the saints. Yep. Okay? Hey, I want to show you what a normal Christian looks like. Because that was Stephen. Yep. But look, when you see Stephen, or you see Tim, or you see Justin, you see Kyle, full of grace, the divine blessing and favor of the Lord, and receiving that power, we already saw how to do that. Inside, outside. Okay? Through intimacy with the Lord, that resurrection power is manifested. And so here's Stephen, full of grace and power. He worked great wonders and signs, miracles among the people. I want to tell you something about Stephen. When he came upon someone that's sick, He didn't say, well, maybe you ought to go find Dr. Luke. I think Luke's still around in Jerusalem somewhere. Maybe you ought to go find him and just go to the doctor. Or, you know, maybe we ought to go do get a bunch of people together and go out and protest that we're not, you know, don't have enough medical facilities. And let's go protest before the government and get a big crowd and shouting. No. When Stephen came across someone that's sick, he said, Jesus paid the price for you. Jesus is in me. Jesus is going to minister to you. And he laid hands on him and he prayed over him. And Jesus did great wonders. Amen. Who did the wonders? Stephen or Jesus?
Jesus
did the great wonders. Jesus did the great miracles. Jesus did the great signs. You know what Stephen did? He said yes to Jesus and he said yes to people. Two-way. Horizontal and vertical. All right? That's what how Stephen operated. Real simple, like normal Christians supposed to operate. I'm telling you, when you come across someone that's sick, hey, ask them, you mind if I pray for you? I love to see Jesus touch people. You mind if I pray for you? Most of them are going to say yes. You come across someone that's depressed and discouraged, you say, you know what? Can I pray for you? Can I give you a word of it? This is how the Lord encouraged me lately. And you just share with him what Jesus has shared with you and let Jesus be Jesus. That's what Christians do. But I want to tell you, before you leave the house in the morning, recognize and practice being full of grace and receiving and recognizing the power of the Lord. It's in you, not by feeling, but by faith. If you wait till you feel power, if you wait till you feel so blessed and favored, you know, you'll be waiting. It's by faith. This is how he operated. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 15. Now, what had happened is that there were some people of another religion of the Jewish faith that were absolutely accusing him and trying to get him in trouble. And so, see, even though Stephen was full of grace and favor, he still had troubles. He had people that didn't like him. He had people that was against him and trying to get him in trouble. And they did. And look at this. Acts 6:15. Then all who sat on the council, the Sanhedrin council, they were giving him the riot act. They were interviewing him and accusing him, brought false witnesses up to say things about him that wasn't true. That's happened to me. Has that ever happened to you? You keep loving Jesus, that'll happen to you too. They saw that his faith had his face had the appearance of the face of an angel. Now, what did they see? I don't know really what they saw. But I think they saw the glory of God. Amen. I think they saw the manifestation of Jesus on their face. Now, I want to tell you, I used to preach a sermon that went something like this, that we're to be like a tree. And a tree has priorities. Receive enough water, the word. Water, the word. Receive enough water to survive. If it receives more than enough water to survive, it'll grow. Somebody say the word. Word will cause you to grow. If they receive more than enough water to survive and grow, they'll produce fruit. And I want to tell you, you can look at the leaf of a tree and tell whether it's getting enough water or not. Your face needs to reflect your life. Let me say this to you. Your face, your countenance does reflect your life. There's an emphasis in Scripture that you can look at a wife's face, a woman's face, and her face, her countenance, reflects the honor of her husband. You know, her face will declare her love life with her husband. And I want to tell you, your face is a witness. Your smile's a witness. And I want to tell you, let's get over the fact that, well, our world don't operate like this, and our world is very serious and sober. You know, that's the way the world operates. You don't have to limit yourself. You're a part of the kingdom of God. The joy of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the peace of Jesus needs to reflect in your countenance to the place where people ask, what's right with you? Or what's wrong with you? Or what's right with you? Or what do you got to be so happy about? Okay, they saw Jesus on Stephen's face. Let me explain something real clear. Stephen was not grunting the glory of God out of his face. He wasn't forcing it. He wasn't trying to make it happen. You know what he was doing? He was in a position of praising and thanking Jesus. His focus was on Jesus. And this is how Jesus manifested on him. I had to encourage a leader of a church in another place not too long ago, probably about a year ago, and he was kind of complaining that he wasn't seeing things happen when he prayed. And it just hit me real clear, and I just said it real sweetly with a smile. I said, you know, you're trying to push power out your arm. That's not what we do. Our part is just to love the Lord and enjoy the Lord and let the Lord do what He's doing through us. You think I'm speaking in some kind of term or not? I want to tell you, when Peter walked down the street, he didn't grunt for healing power to come out. I really believe he was just walking down the street, loving Jesus, enjoying the Lord. And the presence and the shadow, the glory of the Lord came out of him to heal people along both sides of the street. Hey, this is why people just wanted to get close enough to even touch the hem of Jesus' garment. The glory of God was being manifested. I want to tell you, the glory of God rests in you. The glory of God is in you. When you walk into a room, the kingdom of God walks in. When you walk into a room, the resurrection power of Jesus walks into the room. I want to tell you, there's a lot of power in this room. You understand that? I want to tell you, let's start believing that. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. How am I doing? I got time. Listen fast. I want to tell you something about Stephen. He loved people, and we're going to see it in just a second. But he loved people enough to speak the truth. That's very, very important. When Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, he was actually quoting a scripture out of Leviticus that talked about that, yes, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. But I want to tell you what it describes in Leviticus is that if you know that your neighbor is in error or is in sin, you love them enough to go tell them. You love them enough to go help them. But what we want to do is just give out roses and not speak about, let me help you with that thorn. But I want to tell you, Stephen was willing to share the thorns. He told the truth. Look how they responded to the truth. Verse 54, now upon hearing these things, they, the Jews, were cut to heart and infuriated, and they ground their teeth against Stephen. So, they didn't respond with a great offering. They didn't respond with applause. When you tell the truth, not everybody responds with a smile. Stephen was not focused on rejection. That's what a lot of 2019 Christians would do. Oh, they were mean to me. Well, they gritted their teeth at me. They said bad things. They hurt my feelings. He was not focused on rejection. He was not focused on others' anger. I want to tell you that, you know, it's amazing to me how some people can get a wordy dirt on the book of face, and it upsets their life all week. What year is this? How far are we away from the love of Jesus? Because I want to tell you, other people get angry. He wasn't focused on his feelings. He was focused on his faith. He was focusing on what Jesus said about him, not what people said. Can I get an amen, church? Amen, amen, Brother Tim. Amen. But he, look at this. This is the only way he was able to do this. And let me rush to say, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit and someone spits on you, you want to lay hands suddenly on them. You want to do the Texas thing or the East Texas thing or the West Texas thing. But I want to tell you, that's not kingdom. And you say, well, no, that's just not how I operate. Well, this is how we're supposed to operate, is to be full of the Holy Spirit, not full of Texas. He full of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means, full of the Holy Spirit? He had joy in him. In this moment, he had joy. He might not have been having goosebumps of joy, but he knew he was full of the Holy Spirit. Joy was flowing in him. Peace was flowing in him, even though other people were agitated and mad at him. Even though he was in a storm, he was walking in peace. Does anybody see this? He was walking in love. And when you're walking in divine love, even if people are unlovely to you, you can still love them back. And you can love them enough to tell the truth. Does anybody see this? He was full of the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. Now, I've had people claim that they were full of the Holy Ghost, but they didn't act like it. Here's fruit that you're full of the Holy Spirit, is that you operate in the fruits of the Spirit. We can see the fruits of the Spirit and not the fruits of your flesh. We all know that flesh stinks. We all have it. We all know what it looks like and sounds like and looks like. And so if you're full of your flesh and you claim it to be God, you're wrong. Let every man be a liar and God be true. Okay, look what happens. I'm telling you, he was walking in the joy and the peace and the love of the Lord. He had a praise attitude and a thanksgiving attitude, and he gazed into heaven. During the midst of all this going on around him, we would have been ducking. He was praising. He gazed into heaven and saw the glory. This is what we need to do. This is why we pray on Sunday mornings, Lord, we want to see your glory manifested. The splendor and the majesty of God. And he saw Jesus standing at God's right hand. Now, all the references pretty well that you see in Scripture of Jesus in heaven is sitting at the Father's right hand. And I really believe, this is Timology, this is Tim talk, but I really believe that in this particular verse, the only instance you'll see of this, of Jesus standing and not sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, is that he was standing to honor the first one that died for him. I didn't really get that insight until I was preaching at a church where they began to stand and pop up like popcorn and stand. And the pastor explained to me during the sermon, because I turned and looked at him, he said, "It's a silent amen." I said, "I like that." But I think that's what Jesus was doing. Let's see what happens. So he was seeing Jesus. This is such an example of him looking to Jesus and not looking at this world. Looking what Jesus was doing and not looking what people were doing. Hey, look to Jesus. Do not be disturbed and distracted by those things that so easily beset you, but look to Jesus. He said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand." And they raised a great shout. Boy, this did it. And they put their hands over their ears and they rushed together upon him. They looked like a defensive line chasing a quarterback. And look what they did. They dragged him out of the city. And they began to stone him. And the witnesses placed their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul that became Paul later. And while they were stoning Stephen, get this, he could have easily had his feelings hurt when they were stoning him. I want to tell you, and I'm saying to you, that his heart was still in praise and thanksgiving. He was honoring the Lord. He was glorifying the Lord even while they were stoning him. And he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit." And falling on his knees, I mean, the stones were coming and hitting him so hard and so fast that he hit his knees. And he cried out loudly, "Lord, fix not this sin upon them. Lay it not to their charge." And when he said this, he fell asleep in death. So, Stephen saw Jesus. He was enjoying the fellowship of the Lord even through his suffering. Boy, that's for somebody here. That's for somebody listening on podcast. I'm telling you, that is powerful. Through his suffering, through his rejection, through being stoned, he was enjoying the fellowship of the Lord. And he fell on his knees and cried out. Now, his body died, but he continued to enjoy praising and fellowshipping with Jesus. He continued the praise parade that he had been leading. And so I'm sharing this with you. One foot on earth, one foot on heaven. He went from praising here to praising there. His body laid down, but he continued the praise parade. What a way to enter heaven. What a way to enter heaven. And I want to tell you, he was walking in so much grace and faith. I have no doubt that there could be some other endings to this. But his part was to esteem the Lord, disesteem what was going on with him, and submit and surrender to bring honor and glory to the Lord. Now, if he had a chance to vote, he might have voted on some other things. But he chose to honor the Lord. And I want to tell you, the Lord received much honor and glory, and we're talking about it today to prove it. And this is for you. I hope that you remember the sermon we did recently on Paul and Silas. They were worshiping God out of a pure heart. there was revival in the jail and in the jailer's family, and it started with praise and prayer. Praise, prayer, and thanksgiving. Praise and prayer, they go together. Old Testament, I'm going to show you this next week, and New Testament. Prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand. And the jailer and his family, the joy that came to that family were that the jailer was leaping. The Bible describes him leaping and rejoicing because of salvation coming to his house. That joy in that jailer's family started with Paul and Silas rejoicing. I want to tell you, saints, when we practice rejoicing, when we practice praise and thanksgiving, and we look to the Lord, and we're concerning, and our priority is the Lord, it frees the Lord to do whatever He wants to do. Because our flesh is not getting in the way. We're full of the Spirit, and not full of ourself. And we're operating in the power and the love of Jesus. And let's let Jesus be Jesus. The best way to do that is for us to praise and pray and receive of the Holy Spirit what He's doing in us so He can outflow what He's doing in us on the outside to others so that it splashes and touches others around us. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to touch other people around us with what He's doing in you to be through you. And we get to be a part of that. Is that exciting?